Let's take our Bibles once again and look in 2 Kings chapter 15. Our text is from verse 32 to 38. And I've entitled this simply, Perfection is of the Lord. If we're looking for perfection in ourselves or those around us, even man in his best state is altogether vanity. That's important to remember here because as we're studying through these various kings that the Lord raised up, every time a new king was raised up, there was always somewhat of a hope that perhaps he would lead them to success. Isn't that what most people look for in a president? Prosperity, all of these things, and yet each one greatly disappointed. Why? Because there's no perfection in man. And particularly the different tribes of the north that we've been studying. Again, when it says the king of Israel, it's talking about those 10 tribes of the north. When it speaks of the kings of Judah, it's talking about those two tribes of the south. But in the whole list, if you go all the way back to Jeroboam, Solomon's servant that led the 10 tribes away into Samaria and set up the idol worship, the calf, all the way down, not one of those kings was said to be a good king. And even as we're studying the kings of the south, or the kings of Judah that stayed and had as their capital Jerusalem, where God purposed that his honor and glory should dwell in that temple, in that city that where he had put his name as a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, even there were kings that as the Lord raised them up, it says they were an evil king. And yet it's the Lord that raised them up for his purpose and glory. But every once in a while, you come along like we have here in this text in 2 Kings 15, beginning with verse 32, Jotham. Now, it would be good probably to go back and to look at the meaning of the names of these different kings. That would be a study in of itself. Jotham's father, his name was Uzziah. And it says there in 2 Kings 15, 32, in the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. So while the Lord was raising up Jotham, as we saw last time, he was raised up during the reign of Pekah, who was one of the evil kings of Israel. So these were parallel kingdoms going here. But it says, began Jotham, notice, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. Now remember, we saw last time what happened to Uzziah. During his entire reign, Isaiah was the prophet. He reigned for 52 years, and he did many good things as far as establishing that country and raising up refuge and all of these things that brought protection. And yet, as we saw in Isaiah 6 and also in 2 Chronicles, his heart was lifted up one day in pride. He went and entered in, even though there were 80 priests that tried to stop him. He went in and laid his hand on the altar. And God smote him with leprosy. Now, even that was a mercy that God did not entirely wipe out his seed. It was a leprosy that was given to Uzziah as a mark and a reminder even to his family of the devastation. No matter how well a person has lived their life, that if they ever presume that somehow they can enter into God's presence apart from the priest, the high priest, that leprosy serve as a reminder. But Uzziah's name means power is with God. It speaks of God as being sovereign and just in all that he does. His very name was a reminder of that. Now, depending on where you read, sometimes he was called Azariah. One other place he's called Hosiah. In others, Uzziah. Those are just different ways of pronouncing his name depending on the situation. But here now in verse 32, where my text begins, it was during this time that Uzziah, the king of Judah, was still alive, that the Lord raised up his son, Jotham, to, in essence, there were co-joining kings for a while, because Uzziah, because of his leprosy, was banned from the public. He died in his house and banished because of his leprosy. That leprosy, and we could say, oh, well, look at, he was a leper. Well, that would be all of us, were it not for the grace of God. But the name Jotham, and this is what I find interesting, because who would have named him but his dad, Uzziah? That name, Jotham, actually means perfection is with the Lord. In other words, don't look on me for any kind of perfection. Anything that I am is by the Lord's mercies alone. Perfection is with the Lord. And so here, Jotham is, he's the son and successor of Uzziah on the throne of Judah. You notice that? The son of Uzziah, king of Judah, co-reigning along with this Pekah, who actually, Pekah was one of the last kings of the north before the Lord brought Assyria down. So we're just talking about a few years. The last king of Israel of the north was Hoshea, not to be confused with Hosea. And then after that, he was taken into captivity. And so it's during this time that Jotham was raised up to reign. And after Jotham, there were a number of other kings for another 200 years before those southern kingdoms were taken into captivity and fell at the hand of Babylon. But during the last years, since Uzziah was excluded from public life on account of his leprosy, his son, whom it says here in verse 33, was 25 years of age. And it says when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Zadok must have been known, that the name means righteous one. And so you wonder sometimes, why on certain of these does it mention the mother? Well, it's basically to show that Jotham came from a lineage, if you will, blessed of God. Even as Uzziah, a lot of times we think, well, because Uzziah sinned the way he did and laying his hands on the altar, but he paid the price. The Lord didn't kill him immediately. That leprosy stayed with him as a reminder of his own sinfulness and never to presume to enter into the presence of God apart from the mediator, the sacrifice. And so he was there administering while his father still was alive. And then after 7 years, Uzziah would have died, and he would have continued to reign the 16 years that are mentioned there. And he would have reigned during the time of Hosea, where we read in our scripture reading right now, but also of Micah and of Isaiah, three different prophets that were prophesying during this time. I say that was a blessing even for Jotham. But here's what it says in verse 34. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. It goes on to explain how, being the high places were not removed. This again, even as his name states, is perfections of the Lord. We're not to be looking to these kings as examples of perfection, thinking that somehow it's because of that then the Lord has blessed them. When we read even the best of men that are mentioned here in Scripture, be ready to be disappointed. In fact, put your own life, you say you're the Lord's, put it up against even the best that we find here mentioned in Scriptures, and you'll find yourself to be a failure. by comparison. It's just one worm comparing themselves against another worm. Were it not for God being righteous and Him exercising His righteousness in a gracious manner. See, God must be just to justify, not only in how He condemns sinners, but then also how He saves them. It has to be in a just manner. And I dare say that if any of these, despite their failings, which one didn't? Go back to Adam, go back to Abel, go back to Abraham. The scripture exposes these men for what they are, sinners. If our names were written in here, we would be Rahab the harlot. That's how we'd be known. And yet, it pleased God to show mercy, but to do so in a just way. How so? Any one of these that actually were the Lord's, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came in the flesh, that would have worked out their salvation. And when He paid their sin debt at the cross, that's where they were once for all justified before God, right along with everybody else that God has ever justified. One time, one place, one sacrifice, one mediator in Christ. So we're not to look at these men and seek these as if somehow, when we read here, for example, this is God's testimony in verse 34. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. I understand to me, He did everything that the Lord gave Him to do, and the Lord purposed that He should do, and accomplish it for the Lord's glory. And yet He was an imperfect man, because there were many high places He did not remove. And so if for that you're going to say, well, He didn't have a perfect life, so He stands condemned, well, where does that put you or me? If God should mark iniquity, who can stand? But all around Him, while the Lord was using Him as a king to reestablish order or continue what order Uzziah, his father, had begun and had built over 52 years, yet it says in verse 35, the people sacrifice and burn incense still in the high places. And yet none of that kept Him from doing what God put in His hand to do. Here it says He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. The higher gate has to do with the location of the temple. And it would have been a gate, as we're going to read in a little bit here in 2 Chronicles 27, that was on the northern side over against where the holy Holies was in the temple, and it was for the protection. Some say that it was actually a wall that linked the Temple Mount with Zion, the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was built on several hills, and when they go back and look at how this would have been built, this would have been a bridge, this would have been a gate that linked Zion with, guess what mountain? Mount Moriah. That's where God had said He'd put His favor, because that's where Abraham went up on that hill with Isaac and provided that ram as a substitute for Isaac. A lot of significance here. And so as I pondered this, and we can come over to 2 Chronicles, I haven't always come over here, but you'll see here in verse 36, it says, now the rest of the acts of Jotham, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? Someone was asking me the other day, well, who wrote Chronicles? We don't know. There's no name given, but very likely, many believe that it could have been Ezra, that upon the return from captivity, he sat down to chronicle, that's what Chronicles is, the history of both Israel and Judah, and how the Lord had acted in His sovereignty toward both. We don't know. We just know that the Spirit of God's the author. Whoever He used to write it, we know that what He wrote would have been true. Because you've got 1 and 2 Kings, and then you've got 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's like the Gospels. Four different Gospels, but they all speak of the same thing, sometimes from a different perspective. But it's all pointing to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So coming over to 2 Chronicles 27, to see some similarities here. Jotham was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. So this would have been somebody that was known in the day to be one who, his one purpose was to serve the Lord. And it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. And this is why it's good to compare, because there's one other little bit of information we see put here by the chronicler. It says, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. He's referring to Uzziah, that after all those years of prosperity, did enter and did lay his hands on the altar. Don't you know that his father, being smitten with leprosy to where even he was not allowed to go into the house, he was completely cut off from his family. Don't you know that that would have marked Jotham as much as it did Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah declared, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah would have seen this isolation. Not even Isaiah could enter in anymore and commune with what was to that point one of his best friends as a king for 52 years. Isaiah prophesied during his entire reign. And yet, seeing how Uzziah had been cut off of that leprosy, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Just like his name means, power is of God, authority is with God. Judgment is with the Lord. Can he not do with his own what he will? There's nobody that can argue that because they had a successful ministry, their preacher's talking about, well, I've had a profitable ministry now for 50-some years. That doesn't matter. If you're not preaching Christ, if you're not exalting him, if you've yourself or you've taught your people to go in and lay your hand on the altar as if you really didn't need the mediator, then you're condemned. And yet in your sin. So I find that interesting that here the chronicler says, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. It put a fear in him of not following in the path of his father. But it says the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gates of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. That's that wall I was telling you about that linked Zion with Mount Moriah on the north part of the temple. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah and in the forest. He built castles and towers. He was doing what the Lord directed him to do. Here also it says, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. I don't know if that rings a bell for you, but you remember when the Lord delivered Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were the only ones alive besides his two daughters. The two daughters got him drunk and went unto him, and one of them got pregnant. And they named him Moab. And the other one that got pregnant, they named him Ammon. And so these Ammonites stood against the people of Israel. When they later came through there, these fought against Israel. They were arch enemies of Israel the whole time. Even down to Jotham going up against them. And so he subdued them. The children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third. And so Jotham became mighty. If you want an interpretation of what it means that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, it says here, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. There's some hope here that even though we look at Jotham and you see failures, he did not completely subdue even the false worship that was in the land, but he did everything the Lord gave him to do. I think about that even in the ministry that the Lord's given me. to preach the gospel. There's some that the Lord is going to use to bring into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow to him as the Lord and look to him alone for that righteousness that he came and earned and established and God imputed. But I dare say there are many that follow my preaching that yet are not subdued. And they will listen and they will say, we like to hear him preach. And yet they go right along their way, continuing down a path of idolatry. That's not in my hands to determine, just like it wasn't here. Jotham, as the Lord purposed, he did what he did to bring honor and glory, notice, to his God. You won't find a greater testimony concerning a man here, even though these other things continued in his day. But this is the testimony of Scripture. We're not talking about a natural-minded king here. He prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Notice his ways. It wasn't just focused on others. He had the example of his father before him that God had stricken with leprosy. And this put the fear of God in him. That whatever he did concerning others, and notice the focus of his ministry was not only in going against the enemies of the king of Christ, but in building up that which glorified the Lord in the house of the Lord. But he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Before we can preach Christ to others, Christ must be preached in us. And that our hearts be directed by him. So there's a lot in the meaning of his name, Jotham. It describes the Lord in all his perfection. Perfection is in the Lord God alone. That's what his name was a reminder, that if anything was accomplished, it would be to the glory of the Lord God alone. What he has purposed to do, what he purposed to bring forth. And secondly, it would be a reminder of the Lord's perfection in his judgments, even when it affected his father, Uzziah, being excluded from public life on account of his leprosy. And yet none of that deterred Jotham being raised up and put in that place to follow in the footsteps of his father, to put any kind of confidence in his father or any kind of confidence in himself. But as it says here, because he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. That's an important statement. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, in verses 21 through 23, that's leading up to chapter 27. Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. Being a leper, don't you know that the Lord gave Uzziah those years to ponder his own sinfulness? I think sometimes we think, well, Uzziah was a reprobate. I don't believe he was. I believe that had he been, the Lord would have taken him out immediately. It struck him with a leprosy to remind him of his own sinfulness. He was cut off from the house of the Lord as a leper was not permitted. The leper could enter into that household, but it doesn't say he was cut off from the Lord. I presume from his house, he continued to look to the Lord and to think about those very priests that represent the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that sought to stop him from going in and laying his hand on the altar, and he pushed them aside. Now he had time to think about it. And it says, Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of the land. That's while he was still alive. And again, it's mentioned there. So Uzziah slept, verse 23, with his fathers. And they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. All of this would have been an influence on Jotham's mind and heart as he pondered, God being just, shall not the God of this world do right? just in striking his own father with that leprosy. Here's where I find some hope. If you look over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 8, this is the lineage of Christ. And when you look at the names that are in this lineage, they're not there because they had any perfection in themselves. Their names are listed here because it pleased God in his purpose and will to take sinners and to put them in the lineage of Christ, from whom Christ would come, which is a reminder too that that's why Christ came. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. But those that are mentioned in this lineage, you can go all the way back to Solomon. Think about Solomon. He was the fruit of that relationship between David and Bathsheba. David had killed Bathsheba's husband, one of his top generals. And yet the seed that was brought forth from David and Bathsheba, where the Lord gave David a love for Bathsheba, where he took her to wife and bore the child Solomon. And as we see there in verse 6, and the Lord doesn't hide the sin. You can see in Matthew 1, 6, that had been the wife of Urias. You say, well, how on earth could the Lord have shown favor then to David and that child born, Solomon? Well, it's by his mercy and grace. He purposed that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should come from this lineage here. But what I want you to see is in verse 8, whose name appears. It says, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram. Those are the list of kings of Judah. And then what do you read next? Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. That's a different name for Uzziah in the Greek. So Uzziah's in the lineage. Even though a leper, even struck with that leprosy, yet he was not cut off. There was no sin that was too great for God himself to show mercy and grace because he purposed it. And look at next. And Uzziah begat Jotham. And Jotham begat Ahaz is the way it is in Hebrew. And Ahaz begat Hezekiah. So perfection is with the Lord. It's not in sinners. And it's God in his judgments. He's pleased to bless whom he will and show mercy for whom he will. Just like he told Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will. I'll have compassion on whom he will. That's our only hope, any one of us, if you put your name in it. It's only because of God purposing, but to do it in his perfection, in his justice and his judgments. And then to conclude, I would say that the perfections of the Lord in prospering sinners who don't deserve his mercies. It's wrong for us to think, well, I don't know how the Lord will bless Jotham, because look at here. You know, it says he did that which is right, and yet at the same time he didn't get rid of all of the false worship. Well, when it says he did that which is right, it means that he did as the Lord gave him to do. And it's right because it's the Lord that purposed that he should do what he did. So remember that name, Jotham. Perfections of the Lord. It's not in any one of us.